We're joined now by Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet NHL insider and co-host of the 31 Thoughts podcast. Elliot, how are you today?
I'm good, Joey. How are you doing?
I'm excellent. I was going to be recounting a story when Oren Kulas, who you know as well, a good friend of mine, makes the Saw movies, produced Two and a Half Men, owned the Lightning for a little while. And we got to go to Prague with the Tampa Bay Lightning. I went with the team, and they opened the season against the New York Rangers. And, of course, Henrik Lundqvist, who won't be playing for the Washington Capitals, who now have a Capital One logo on their helmet, he played for the team then. And we got to go there, this was years ago. This was 10 years ago, 12 years. I can't even remember because, of course, right now the whole time-space continuum is confusing me like everybody else. A day is a year and a week is a month. So anyway, you could gamble in the building, right? You can just walk downstairs. They had a casino in the building, and you could just go lay bets right there. And it's interesting because I want to get your perspective on the Washington Capitals and the Devils having Capital One and Prudential on their helmets, respectively. And they're both the arena naming rights partners. And I don't know if you heard what I said before the break, but to me, this strikes as a preemptive move on not delivering on your metrics for your sponsors. And by that, I mean, if you're Prudential or you're Capital One and you name the building and you paid a lot of money for it and there's no one in the building and the ratings may be down on the broadcast, this is not new money. I don't think this is new money for the teams. I think this is, hey, you need to figure out a way to make me whole or make me good, or you got to give me a refund. Does that make sense to you?
Well, it's exactly true. You're 100% right. As a matter of fact, I was working on a story yesterday that should be up on the website sometime today about that. And from what I understand, and the helmet ads in Nashville announced theirs last night too, and their rink sponsor Bridgestone is on it. Basically what this is it's not new money. It is protecting or retaining the value of the current deals. And the league is estimating by these deals this year, they're going to save themselves about $80 to $90 million in money they would have had to give up if they didn't do this. And as a matter of fact, on the helmet ads, they basically told the teams, this is for either your arena sponsors or your foundational sponsors. These were major sponsors that they told them, you're going to make this available to. And, a couple things about it, Joey. Number one, these are all one-year deals. Nobody's gotten long term. So this year it has two purposes. Number one is to give those make goods that you talked about. And number two is to learn the data so that when they take this to market, they'll have a better idea of what it's worth and how it works. And the other thing is the NHL is working on some other projects for these kinds of ads that will be unique and different this year that they'll work towards giving make goods or for that too. So I think you're going to see a lot of this because the teams in the league have been at work on it for quite some time just to make sure that they wouldn't have to give money back to their sponsors. You're on top of it, and it's totally true.
And we're getting texts at 590-590 from fans listening on what they think about this and whether they care. And look, I said this to John Morosi earlier. It's one thing to have a logo on a basketball jersey because you don't even generally have the team's logo on the basketball jersey. It is an entirely different thing to have a corporate logo on a Montreal Canadiens jersey, on a Chicago Blackhawks jersey, on a Toronto Maple Leafs jersey, just because the uniform has a different place in the National Hockey League. I would argue that of any sport, the hockey uniform is the most important uniform of any of the big four. Having said that, Major League Baseball, you don't want it on pinstripes, but it's inevitably going to happen.
They're talking about it.
Yeah. So as you said, look, this is a preemptive revenue measure for the teams to hang on to revenue because every business that is predicated on fan engagement has been challenged financially now. Going forward, my question to you is, are we going to see every team in the league with this year? Are the Leafs going to have a Scotiabank logo on the side of their helmet? And what's that going to do to a Leaf fan that's used to seeing a Maple Leaf on the side of that helmet?
Well, I mean, I think it's just, as you said, it's the reality of the situation. The teams were given yesterday or over the last couple of days, the teams have been submitting their logos to the NHL. Like, there's rules for this. Like, it's pretty interesting. Like, basically, it's 2.5 inches by 3.7 inches. And the one thing I kind of didn't realize that someone explained to me was that I guess there's three different helmet manufacturers in the NHL. And, you know, basically the equipment managers, they were asked to test out this logo or the ad on all these different helmets because they want them to look kind of uniform. So they said to them, you know, please, you know, take some pictures, submit it to us so we can see what it looks like. We don't want it on the front of one helmet or on top of one helmet or on the side of another. So they had to fiddle around with this, and they had to submit them to the league. And starting yesterday, once they were approved, they were allowed to release them. So I do think, Joey, you're going to see this everywhere. I just think they had to simply get it approved by the league. And, you know, as for that, you know, you were talking about gambling before. As I got older and had the great opportunity to travel the world, I realized how, you know, we're the last Puritans in sports in North America.
We're archaic, Elliot. We are archaic. Okay, go watch just watch a premiership game and look at every advertiser on all the sideboards. They're all gambling websites. Everyone is gambling everywhere around the world, but in North America, it's like, hey, we need to protect you from yourself. No gambling allowed in the building.
It's terrible. Like, you know, like people getting, like, I'll tell you this. I think there's a very strong, like, they're not doing jersey ads this year. When they do that, they're going to do it right. But we're not going to be like, you know, like European hockey or the Premier League in soccer. It's going to be small and it's going to be tasteful, at least for now. But, you know, we just have to understand that, hey, it's a new world. People need to make up money for what we've lost during COVID, as you said. Like, I don't have a lot of time for people who moan and bitch about this.
Listen, man, at this point, with the way things are going, just put cannabis ads on the jersey, whatever it takes to keep the revenue going so that we get to the other side. My concern is not for the players, Elliot, okay? It's not, and it's not for the owners. My concern is for the people that make their livings on the spin-off economy, on the halo economy, on the shadow, whatever you want to call it, the people that work outside the building, the people that work inside the building, the people that take the tickets, the people that stand at the doors, the security people. Mm-hmm. These are people that are, as you know, better than anybody because you say hi to them when you're going into the press box. All those people that you run that gauntlet to get into a building all get paid because the Toronto Maple Leafs are playing a game at Scotiabank Arena or the Raptors are playing a game or TFC are playing a game or whoever. They are now not getting paid. And whatever it takes to get to the other side so they get paid again, I'm okay with.
I'm with you on this, Joey. I'm totally with you on this. I think any normal, humane person is with you on this. That's why I hope this works, because there's a lot of people who have ancillary jobs around it. A lot of teams have laid off people or put people on furlough. Those are the people who I want to see benefit from this as much as anybody else. I am with you 100%.
So, Elliot, let's turn our attention to, I guess, the mechanics of what we're going to see unfold. We know the length of the season. You know, it was funny. I was getting a coffee this morning before the show around the corner at my place in Etobicoke, and I bumped into one of the Leafs PR guys who gets coffee at the same place. And I said, so what's going on? Do you know what's going on yet? You know, what's happening in BC? Have they said anything? He doesn't know what's going on, and it's December the 23rd, and training camp's opening in 8 or 9 days, and we don't know if we're having a Canadian division in America, in Canada, if they're moving provinces. Where are we? What's the latest? What do we know? And more importantly, what do we not know?
Well, I think we don't know a lot. Like, you know, I like to say, like, for a supposed insider, I really have no clue what's going on. And in this particular case, I can say that honestly. It's just, it's a constantly moving target. I think what they're doing is they're saying, look, like, as it stands, six of the seven Canadian teams have approval to host their training camps. There was a report last week that Montreal did, but they've kind of disputed that, although I've heard they're hopeful they'll be able to host their camp. So that's number one. Number two, they are still missing approval from three provinces, Ontario, BC, and Quebec, about games. So basically they're working on, okay, if we don't get the approval, what are we going to do here? I believe the Canucks players have been told there's a couple of possibilities that they might start, that if they can't get this sorted out by then, They'll either be on a road trip or they'll play in Edmonton. I think they have a hub plan in Edmonton if they have to do it. You know, the schedules will come out today. I think they'll look as if they're all playing at home. I think that's the goal. But, you know, hey, like, you remember, like, last summer, the report came out, the bubbles were going to be Vegas and Vancouver, and that was true. And we ended up in Toronto and Edmonton. So it just goes to show you that they'll wait as long as they can to narrow this down. I don't think they're going to go to the States. I believe Chris's report was 100% true. It was a worst-case scenario. But I think now if they have to, they'll put everybody in a hub in Edmonton is the worst-case scenario. But the goal, obviously, is play in your own ranks.
Okay, so you reported yesterday that the Lightning could potentially solve their cap issues by placing Kucherov on a long-term injured reserve. They had a couple of signings yesterday. Have their cap issues been rectified?
Not yet. Not until they do something. You know, I'd also heard a rumor, and it came out of Europe, that they were exploring a deal with Detroit that would have involved Tyler Johnson going to the Red Wings for Henrik Zetterberg's long-term injury contract. He's got 1 year left on his deal.
And I love that. I love that he still has a year. Hey, how many years? I always give Pronger a hard time. How many years does Pronger still left on his deal?
No, he's done. Pronger's done now. That one seemed like it was going to go on until I had grandkids, but like he's done now.
Okay,
so
good.
So Zetterberg had 1 year left, that thing was still being talked about, and somebody called me the other day and said, kind of stop talking about that because they don't need to do that anymore. I said, oh, do they have a trade going? And then that's when I heard about Kucherov. Now, I think there's a decision being made here as to whether or not he needs surgery or not. And if he does, and I don't know the decision there yet, if he does, he's going to be out a while. And because
I heard he's out for the year. Elliot, I heard he's out for the year.
I don't like to say anything like that because you never know until you know, right?
And I got a text this morning from someone, I won't say on the team, but someone who's related to someone.
You have good sources.
I got a text this morning saying he's out for the year.
I mean, look, I've been told it's a long time if he does have it, but I just would hate to say that until I know
for
sure.
Yeah, I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, Joey, you know a lot of people. I mean, like you have decent information. Just until it's confirmed, I'm not going to run with it. But
no, of course.
But I do think if he has surgery, it's going to be for a while.
Yeah, and he's just so good.
It's bad for the game.
He's so good. It's funny, right? Like we talk so much about business and we talk so much about all the logistics to get the game going. And look, the people, for example, Teresa Resch from the Raptors who had to organize them going to Tampa. I mean, look, people get paid to do jobs, so I'm not going to sit here and say I feel sorry for them. But I don't know how much more she's getting paid to do much more work to get the team to play in Tampa. And I don't know how much a bunch of the people that work for the different Canadian teams have to do a lot more work to get this season underway. My point being that hockey is such a like basketball, like baseball, like football, they all have their attributes, tennis, whatever, you curling, whatever it is. We forget how much these people have put effort-wise into their lives and doing all the work to get to where they are. And then for a guy like Nikita Kucherov, who when you watch this guy play, he's so sublime. I mean, he's the closest thing I've seen that he reminds me of Pavel Datsyuk on so many different levels, right? And Igor Larionov in the manner that they think the game and they see things happen before other people. And to have a season wiped out, it just sucks for a guy like that. And it sucks just as much for us because we don't get to watch him.
Yeah, I agree with you. It stinks. And, you know, I think he was bothered by this hip problem last year in the playoffs. And he still grinded it out, and he played great, and was obviously a huge part of why they won. It's terrible, and it just shows, like, man, what these people put their bodies through to win. You have to be committed, and you have to be determined.
Okay, so I said this on my show, on my Saturday show that is on from noon to 3 each and every week, and you've been on it a couple of times, and as always, I appreciate your time, especially on the weekend. I believe the Toronto Maple Leafs are going to go to the Stanley Cup final this year. I believe the Toronto Maple Leafs have finally got the proper concoction of veteran depth that is going to hold their younger players accountable and also make those players play taller. And by that, I mean a guy like Joel Thornton, who's going to walk into the room, and anybody that has any sort of millennial entitlement is going to think twice about exercising that entitlement. And on the other side, anybody on the other team that thinks that they're going to run roughshod over Mitch Marner or any other player is now going to have to deal with Zach Bogosian and Joel Thornton and Wayne Simmons. And you look at this team now, the balance is there on every level possible. And as long as Freddie Anderson can play up to the defense now that he has in front of him, I think this team can make the Stanley Cup final.
You know, I have to tell you, the funniest thing about that is, like I grew up here. I have some buddies who are longtime Leaf fans, and they're like, they thought they were going to win the Cup last year because they're like, only we could win the Cup in a year where we can't have a parade. Yep. And they're still saying the same thing this year. Like, they're making all these great acquisitions, and we can't see them, and we may not be able to have a parade if they win the Cup. So you're on the same wavelength as them. I'll tell you this. I think they're improved. I do. I think they've added some things that they needed to add. I agree with you. I got to tell you, like, I don't have no idea on how to handicap this year. I have no idea at all. I'm really fascinated to watch Matthews. I think that last year in the playoffs, even though they didn't win, I thought he did a lot of things that are good omens for the future. I do think the chemistry mix is going to be really interesting. Like, I look at why can't they win the Canadian division? Why can't they win it? I think all of these teams, there's some really good teams, but everybody here's got flaws. And if I was the Maple Leafs, I'd have the attitude, why can't I win this division? And I'll tell you something else, Joey. I hope that the league considers this setup for good. A Canadian division and three U.S. divisions. I hope it's I'm very curious to see if they would say, okay, this is good for us and for building revenues, and we could use this.
And they're going to need to build revenues because the other part of this, you know, I have John Angelos from the Orioles on at around 11:30. And if you look at the lost revenues, and I've talked to people at Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, have a lot of friends there. The consortium that owns the team, and again, I don't feel sorry for anybody except for, or I have empathy, not sympathy, but empathy for people that are going through a rough time right now that actually have to put food on the table, take care of their kids, homeschool their, all the things that I don't have to do because I'm single and I've never been married and I don't have any kids. And, you know, I'm extremely lucky in that I gambled properly in my life and actually made some dough and don't really have a lot of worries. And I'm very grateful. But my empathy level for people is so high right now because they are faced with so many challenges. And we know what's happened with people in terms of, you know, anxiety and fear of the future and depression. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are going through it. So having the Leafs and the NHL back on the ice is going to at least give people a diversion. The Raptors starting tonight is going to give people a diversion. And, you know, as you so aptly said, you don't know how to handicap this season. But I will say this, a team that now, you know, anything, Elliot, as you know, because you've been doing this a long time, is about slotting. And by that, I mean, when you get a player to take a slot and bump a player down to a slot that maybe is more akin to their skill level, the type of player that they are, it makes the whole team better. And the Leafs now in TJ Brody, and look, Bogosian was a write-off in Buffalo because he hated it. He didn't want to play there. And now he won a Stanley Cup in Tampa, and he's coming to the hockey capital of the world. And I think that's going to revitalize him. Sure, he's not going to be any faster. But you know what? When you're standing in front of the net and Zach Bogosian's out there and maybe he's playing with Jake Muzzin, he's going to cross-check you in the back of the neck. I didn't know that Matt Marinson was going to be doing that. That's why I think this team is going to have the opportunity to do things that they haven't done. And guys like Austin Matthews, as you said, to me, Matthews is the best center in the National Hockey League this coming season, both ways.
Wow.
Who's now, better?
That's a prediction.
Well, who's better?
Me, I mean,
Sid?
Look, I don't bet against Crosby.
Never.
But I'll tell you something. Like, here's the one thing. Like, I think Matthews has it in him to be the best two-way center in the league. I absolutely do. I just watched the team win the Stanley Cup, though. Like, I'm going with Braden Point first. But, you know, Matthews, can he beat him? For sure he could.
I'm looking forward to watching hockey, Elliot. We're talking about hockey, and we're talking about watching it, and we're talking about players now. We're not talking about money, and we're not talking about mechanics. So, again, I always appreciate your time, my friend. I hope you have a great holiday season. Are you going to get any time off? Are you going to be able to spend some time with whatever your small circle of people that you're allowed to associate with is?
Joey, well, unlike you, I am married, and we've spent a lot of time together over the last few months. I think she's like, I don't know why, we've got this house calendar, and the 13th is circled like 12 times in red, so I think she's pretty excited about the season starting.